The word of our Lord recorded for us for our meditation this morning is taken from the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter. We read there verse 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. A number of years ago, a lady who was a member of a congregation where I was serving came to talk to me at my office all excited because she had had an opportunity to meet President Reagan right in the Oval Office. And she started to relay to me the story of how this all happened. It happened through her work, and she was to go and present a gift to him on behalf of the corporation she was working for. And in the process, she said it took hours to go through security screening, and it also they also made her go through a little orientation session, and they also made her sit down one-on-one with one of the primary security guards, and he went through all of the various protocol that there was to make sure that when she finally got to meet the most powerful man in the world and to stand and take pictures with him in his office, which only took about a minute, that she had gone through all of the right procedures to be ready for that. Our Lord has established a particular office of the public ministry to prepare our hearts to meet the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our Lord Jesus Christ. And the office of the public ministry's role and goal and responsibility is nothing but that, to prepare us to meet Christ wherever he comes to us, through his word and sacraments, or especially to be ready through those for his second coming that is yet in the future. In this third week of Advent, we often focus on the work and the unique ministry of John the Baptizer. We heard yesterday about what strange food he ate and strange clothes he wore and how he preached out in the rugged terrain along the Jordan River Basin, and what a powerful orator he must have been that throngs of people went out to hear him. And certainly his unique calling and responsibilities and unique placement and all of those things, that characteristics about him that were so different and strange, can make him sound so different from the pastors that we may know in our lives. And yet, essentially, the role is the same. One who would go and stand before God's people on behalf of the Lord himself and proclaim and preach God's word in all of its sharpness and severity, and also in all of its great comfort. And that he would stand then and represent God, expose man's sinfulness and guilt before God, to expose man's desperate condition because of sin and the future death that we face, but then also to proclaim the coming of the Savior and the wonderful gifts that we have in him. So that same work of John the Baptizer is carried on today, likewise in the office of the public ministry. Our Lord understands something about each one of us, and that is that we desperately need spiritual guidance and care. We need a shepherd to take care of us, the sheep, and to keep us with the good shepherd in his flock. You know, if you think about it, there's so many places in our lives where we have someone to help us, someone who is maybe a specialist in particular things, who has studied deep into their academic training in order to fulfill a particular vocation that takes care of us, doctors that take care of our physical needs with our bodies. Think of all the specialists that we have just blocks away from us that have been trained particularly for our eyes or maybe things with our mouths and things with our hearts, our lungs, and so on. We think about those who are trained to help protect us and our life and our ways of making a living, the government officials, the police force, and so on. People that deal with the legal matters of caring for the property that we have in this life, with lawyers and so on. And those who work even here on this campus to educate our minds. all of these special professions with the goal of taking care of some aspect of who we are. Important, wonderful things, wonderful gifts of God. But rising above all of this is the need for our souls to be prepared for the coming of our Lord, to meet Christ on Judgment Day. There is no greater work that needs to be done than to get souls ready for that day. It is the most important part of your life and existence and of your future. Because as Jesus once said, what does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What does it profit you if you could live 10 years longer because of the work of some great wise doctor and still die and lose your soul? Or maybe gain enormous wealth in your life and still lose your soul? Or have a wonderful job and occupation and be set up well in life, but still lose your soul? A friend of mine once said it this way: God created the office of the ministry because he wanted someone with the responsibility of staying up late at night concerned about your soul. That's a great way to put it. Somebody whose job and task it is to just stay up and worry about your soul and to help take care of you. And I'll tell you how true that is, having served as a parish pastor for about 20 years. My wife could tell you too, I do have some sleepless nights. And it usually didn't have to do with somebody having a health problem or economic issues and things like that. Those could trouble me too. But the thing that really bothered and troubled me when was a member of a congregation I was serving was living a life of sin and impenitence. Nothing laid more heavily on my conscience than that as a pastor, trying to deal with that and trying to think, how can I reach this individual with the Word of God to get him or her to turn back to Christ? If you were allowed into the closed sessions of pastors' meetings and conferences, they usually close the door at a certain point for something that they call casuistry. Not casualties, but casuistry. And casuistry is the time in those meetings when they bring up particular concerns of things going on in their congregation, not sharing names of members, but particular instances where they need advice and help on how to apply the Word of God to particular instances and situations that they're dealing with. How to apply God's law and gospel in the right way. In the text before us, the author of Hebrews says, as far as how we should look at the role, our role as members to pastors, he says, let them do so, in other words, rule over you in a spiritual way. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Notice, not unprofitable for them, for you. If you make the work of your pastor a grief to him because of your impenitence, that's not unprofitable to him. Yeah, it's heavy on his soul and heart. May keep him up at night. But it is unprofitable for you, is what the author is saying, for your future. How desperately we need to be brought back to repentance. God desires that those of us who have been placed under the care of these shepherds would make their work a joyful work and their relationship with us a joyful relationship, that they not be burdened with the grief and trouble of our sins, impenitent. And that is the most difficult aspect of the ministry, is when the pastor knows that in the heart of one of his members there's no desire to repent. And that person has been confronted. That is the most heart-wrenching part of the ministry. Grief is right, the way our text puts it. So, the author says to us from the Lord, obey those who have the rule over you and be submissive. In essence, what he's saying is bow to the Word of God. Bow on your knees in repentance before Christ. Submit yourself to his Word. You have been purchased by his blood shed for you on the cross. He has made it his work to come down into this world and take on human flesh to be your Redeemer and your Savior, to buy you back to God, to make sure that your soul could live forever in heaven along with your body and to enjoy the food of the angels at the great banquet feast. And so when your pastor comes to apply that word to you in your life, listen to it, obey it, and submit to that. Dr. Walther says, Christ has established a peculiar office, the incumbents of which have no greater task to do than to say what Christ said to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven. And I'll tell you as a parish pastor, there is nothing that gives you more joy dealing with your members than being able to bring them the absolution of Christ, to bring them that wonderful forgiveness of sins. This is the essential role of this office, to prepare hearts to meet the King of Kings. And as we heard in our homily yesterday, John the Baptizer said it so well regarding this role. Christ must increase, and I must decrease. That is the attitude and heart that should be on the mind of a pastor. I'm going to end with a story that one of my seminary professors used to tell me years ago, or tell us in class, that always stayed with me about the role of a pastor. He told the story, apparently a true one, of a man who went to visit two different churches in England on two different weekends, two different Sundays, many years ago. And the first place was, there was a preacher who was known as a tremendous orator. And as the man left that church, he said to one of the ushers, you sure have a wonderful preacher here. The next Sunday, he went to a smaller parish where there was a man who wasn't known quite as well for his oratory skills, but certainly preached Christ and the gospel into this man's heart very well. And as he left that smaller church, he said to the usher, you sure have a wonderful Savior here. May God always give us pastors that guide our souls, not to themselves and not striving to build up great numbers and great followings, but rather to the only one that can give us eternal rest and salvation, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.